All right, we're going to be starting a new series. It's the Acts of the Apostles. I think Kirsten did a little thing. The actions of God's Spirit, both in and through His church after He ascended. We as disciples are part of His church. You realize you're part of His church? So we say here, right, I am the church, but we are part of the church universal, right? So here at New Season, every Sunday, we try to have our gratitude and worship. We try to have the word presented. That's how it's been for 20 years. And so I hope to take all of you through the book of Acts, all 28 chapters. I hope to have some of the other pastors maybe join me on the journey, stepping into some spots. A series of this size, Hollywood break up into like four seasons. You know, if any of their season watchers, you'd be like, well, I can't wait for season two to come out. You know, like, well, you might be like that. I'm trying to get through Acts, but there might be, boop, that's season one. Why? Because pastor needs a break. I have a problem. I recognize I have a problem staying focused. Yeah, I might have a problem that you understand. Yeah, some of you have a problem staying focused too. I know. And so I'm like, yeah, 28 chapters, woo. But I can see me around chapter seven going, wait a minute. I'm just like that. So I ask for grace, you know. I reserve the right to put intermissions in every once in a while. But I do hope, honestly, that we all go through the book of Acts together this year. And I mean that in more than one way. I hope this is that kind of slow-rolling series that started in your life that changed you forever and how you begin to express what God asks you to do. Like it caught you unaware, like a small thing that ended up being a big thing. You know, Alejandro walked into a tiny church, small, tiny church. He comes out with a fiance. I mean, come on. Comes out with God and a fiance. You know, little things. Come on, little things. God can do it, you know. God can do it. But we shall see. So the book of Acts, let's just call this season one, episode one. Letters is the... I think the subtitle is Letters to a Friend of God. The word apostle, I want to start right with this. The word apostle means to delegate or a delegated one or a sent forth one. One who is delegated or sent forth to do something. And this is the acts of the apostles. The acts of those who have been chosen and delegated and sent forth. So this book is about things in our lives. We should find parallels that God is saying to us through this series. And when you read His word, that challenges your heart to go, I need more of that. I'm on that next. You feel like the next level has been coming, you've been waiting for the next level, like you just feel it, like your rubber band super stretched. And you're either going to fling something out or you're going to break. Anybody? Just me and Sean, Zika, Bob. Oh, okay. Us old people, like, we always feel like we're going to break. You know? Nana, that's not what I'm talking about. Acts 1, 1 through 3 in the Amplified. Acts 1, 1 through 3. I'm going to slow roll, so don't have to worry about it too much. The first account I made. Anyone know this guy's first account? Who besides Pastor Justin? What was this first account? Does anybody else know what his first account was? Pastor Justin? It was Luke, the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke. So Luke is writing this, okay? His first book was the Gospel of Luke. Now listen, I'm not going to be a good historian in the Bible like Pastor Justin or Dr. Heidi. I'm not going to be that. It's just like, too bad for me. I'm not. But I'm going to try to throw some stuff in here. So I'm going to do some little bits of things. We're going to slow roll. The first account I made, Theopolis. Theopolis means friend of God. So this started some controversy back in the day. When the Bible was coming out and people were like finding the scriptures and they're like Theopolis. There started this controversy. It can be literally meant to a person. Theopolis actually was a dude. His name means friend of God. So, you know, anybody having babies, Theopolis is a cool one, you know. I don't see too many Theopolises around, you know, you're not in the mall going, Theopolis, come here. And like eight kids come toddling over. It doesn't happen, you know. You know, it's just not happening. But literally, it means friend of God. So Theopolis or Theo could be a real person, okay? There does exist a cryptic metaphorical read. So it could be read as Theopolis to the friends of God. This book is written to the friends of God. Say, but debating that point is missing the point. I've seen so many Christians debate points like this to the point that it makes me nauseous, and they're arguing over something so dumb, I feel like in that moment, the rare moment I feel like Jesus, I want to flip their tables on them. Stop arguing over stupid stuff. What's the point? What's the point? Not what it could be or should be. I don't know. What's the point? The point is us recognizing that his word is written to all of us. That's the point. We are the friends of God. And so we have to, sometimes you get lost. Sometimes what the point is, you get so lost. Oh, man, I forgot my point. What's the point? Why am I doing this again? What's the point? You know, I lose that walking to the bathroom. What am I doing? I don't know. Friend of God, I made a continuous report about all the things. About all the things that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day when he ascended to heaven. After he had, by the Holy Spirit, given instruction. Anyone remember, besides Pastor Justin, what the instruction was? Red letters. What was the last instruction he gave the disciples? He said, go to the upper room and wait. Go and wait. Everyone would love going and waiting? When God says, go wait, I'm not going to answer that yet. Just hold on. Wait. Anyone love waiting? I don't like to wait more than 1,001, 1,002, 1,003. Red light should be over 1,004. Come on. I have a hard time with waiting. I'm not the most patient waiter in the world. But he said by the Holy Spirit, he'd given instructions. He said, go to the upper room and wait. The big point Jesus is going to give, if you're taking notes today, if you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, if he says to go do something, you know, it's really awesome. You should go do it. Like, go do it. So many things he said simply, I should do that I haven't done. And I'm so far behind because I just didn't do what he said to do. And so if you're a disciple and he's got you and doing something, and if he's saying to you personally, wait. Wait right where you're at. Wait right in this part of your life. You wait right there till I show up. Then you wait. Don't get a resume together. Don't look on Indeed. Don't go looking on partners.com. Don't go buying real estate. Don't. If he said wait, then that's what you do. You wait. And that's hard. Anybody? Waiting. That's what he said. You know, there's a pastor from one of the churches locally here. He had a good analogy the other day. He had a map of the world, or the United States. Back then, you had to travel that way. Like, you didn't have your phones because there wasn't a cell phone. You had to go and get maps and a highlighter and go, we're leaving New York. We're taking the 60 to the 45 to the 212 to the southeast to the northwest. And we're dipping down here around Nebraska. You know, and you're mapping it out. Because there's all these roadways you could take to get from here to there. Right? There's roads on that map that you have to follow. There's the same roads today. They didn't change. Even your Google just shows them on your phone. But so often we have the road map, which is the Bible, and then what we'll do is we'll take a line and we'll just draw the direction we want to go. We don't follow the road map. And we wonder why everyone's ticked off because you ran over their cat in their front yard because, I'm driving my way. I'm going 85. Well, it's a 25. I'm going 85. I'm doing it my way. There's not even a road, bro. I'm an off-roader. No wonder you're all beat up. Losing parts. Your mind's a little shaky. Why? Because you've been off-roading. Instructions from him matter. Like, they really do matter. If we follow his instructions, you'll get it okay. I realize they matter with microwaves, too, and corn dogs. You must corn dog that what they say it to at the right time, or it's not a good corn dog. And I don't like to, I like to look at it and go, it's probably this. And I pop it in the microwave, you know, figure it out. Well, don't do that with your corn dogs. I'm just saying. Pay attention to the instructions. He had given instruction to the apostle whom he had chosen. The apostles whom he had chosen. To these he also showed himself alive after his suffering in Gethsemane and on the cross. Do you realize, oftentimes when you think of his suffering, most of us think go right to the cross, right? Because that's where he bore the sin of mankind. He was bearing sin and beaten to a pulp for it. So you think that's his suffering. But you know, suffering can also be waiting for that to happen. The anguish of waiting. And even in that moment, he came, all God, all flesh. Father, can this cup pass for me? Like, can we do another way? I've been working up to this minute, and I'm like, I'd love to tap out. Can I tap in Nana for this job? You know, can she take over? You got another plan? Can we go back to lambs and goats sacrificing? No. There's an anguish with that. Doing something you know that you ever know there's something you're supposed to do, and you haven't done it yet, and it's going to be tough, but how many of you went through anguish before you even had the conversation? You're just, I want to talk to my boss about that. I want to talk to him. But you know what's going to happen? He was suffering in Gethsemane and on the cross. And after his suffering in Gethsemane and the cross, by a series of many infallible proofs and unquestionable demonstrations. Those are strong verbiage. So you basically go, you can't counter. What I'm about to tell you cannot be contradicted. Doesn't matter what it says on Google News. Doesn't matter what it says on Fox, CNN, this happened, and it's infallible. Everyone knows this happened. It all got proof. Everyone in their whole culture knows all this stuff I'm about to lay down is real. Remember I told you in my first letter? When the gospel of Christ, I told you, it goes in all the things. They're true. Lots of demonstrations. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days, talking to them. After Jesus rose, he hung out with them over a period of 40 days, and he talked with them. Talked to them about the things concerning the kingdom of God. Because they're looking for a kingdom, right? Wow, they're going to raise a king, and you're going to take over Rome, and we're going to rule the earth again, and Israel's going to be mighty like David. He said, no, the kingdom we're building is about hearts. Those are the stones and the hearts that I build my kingdom on. And I want to talk to you about how you're going to accomplish that. Jesus had his red letter things to say, right? For his mission, he was exposing who he was, and he was demonstrating his kingdom to them. So after his resurrection, the book of Acts reveals some components to the mission. Let's put it that way. Jesus said we needed to accomplish a certain mission, and he gave us some components. The additional point, Jesus' spirit does dwell in the church today. We're going to talk a lot about Holy Spirit through this series and the real power of God and the balance and the flakiness of the church in the past and the abuse of gifts. We'll pull over there. It's not stuff I'm love comfortably talking about, but I see how the Holy Spirit's been thrown out like the baby in the bathwater, and also every little movement, every little thing is some spiritual thing that's ridiculous and people are acting nonsense and emotional over something dumb. I know. As a pastor, I'm saying both those things are crazy for the church. I'm hoping to walk in spirit and in truth, to believe in that, and we're going to talk about those things, I hope. Because we're the church. Say, I am the church now. Acts 1, 4 through 5. While being together and eating with them, he commanded them. Who loves the word commanded? Who loves the word commanded? But it's something, honestly, who hates the word commanded? Who doesn't like to be told what to do at any given time? Go ahead, Lance, you better raise your hand. I know you. You know, that's how some of us are built, right? Jake, right? But if we have a Lord, doesn't that give him the authority to command? And so often he's Lord, not Lord. When he says something, oh, he's just so loving. Yeah, but when he commands a thing, he's still Lord. So when he commands something, as uncomfortable as it is, we should go, yes, sir. You know, that's how we should respond. He commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait. Say, wait. Commanded them to wait for what the Father had promised. Say, I will always wait. I will always wait for what God promised. Yeah, you got lost, you right? No. I will always wait. I will always wait for what he promised. I'm not going to sell short. I'm not going to do a substitute. I'm not going to go, well, this is good enough. Or, you know what? God's taking too long. I've been there. I've been in God's taking too long before. And I did my own thing. That's why I walk really funny now. Change my life. Make my own roadmaps. When God says to wait for something, you wait for it until it happens. Wait for the Father what he had promised, of which he said, you have heard me speak. For John baptized you with water, but you'll be baptized and empowered. You'll be baptized and empowered and united with. See, lots of times in the church, we pull over empowered. Oh, he's about to talk about the Holy Spirit. Oh, the powers of prophecy, the powers of healing. Yeah, I love when God does those things. They're amazing, and I've seen them, and I'd love to see more of that. But it's, people get so caught up in power tools. I think God just took himself away from it sometimes. One of the greatest things about the Holy Spirit is you get to be united with. You're going to be united. Become one, like part of your everyday life. That's crazy. I got a picture of it. I think I got a picture. That's crazy to me. All right, I got my slide back there, Chantel. It's a slide back there. There it is. It's crazy. Mind-blowing to me that I could be empowered and united with the Holy Spirit. That means you can be connected and are supposed to be connected spiritually to God, where his spirit and yours commune. Where like you hear things from him before you come on Sunday, you go, Pastor said that, but that's what he told me this week. Why, the Holy Spirit's been talking to me about things. Man, I was going to go this, and I just felt this check in my heart. And then God, like, the whole point after the resurrection was his church to have a direct, he said, I have to go. Why? Because my spirit needs to live in you and be in you. That's mind-blowing to me. The God of the universe wants to actually have that kind of relationship. And so much of the church doesn't have it. And it gets brought up really hotly. Well, you're spirit-filled? You mean our church? Some of us, yeah. Some are growing in that. Some are seeking that. That's great. Yeah, but how's your services? You have the gifts? When the Holy Spirit shows up, we don't fake stuff. We try to be authentic. Because nothing hurts God than fake God. Faking stuff in the Holy Spirit has ruined the Holy Spirit's reputation like nothing else. But doesn't mean he doesn't want to live and dwell in you and have a relationship and speak to you maybe again like he never has before. He wants you to hunger for that relationship and thirst for that connection. Like, I miss Dr. Heidi every day that goes by. I want to see her more. That's our relationship with God. We should be having that saying, I need more. I want to be with him more, right? It's mind-blowing that he wants to be with me. A direct relationship. Acts 1:6-8. Acts 1:6-8. So when they had come together, if we would have had audio, this would, but anyways. So when they had come together right now over him. Some of you need to upgrade your classic music. I'm just telling you, you young people, you don't know who that is. You need to figure that out. Google that later. Come together. Every apostle, every disciple, every church, say I'm the church, every church needs to come together over Jesus. Like we're part, like we try to express, like what kind of church are you? We're a worship church. What kind of you? We're a spirit-filled church. We're a kind of church. We're a deliverance church. What kind of church are you? We're a word church. No, we're a church that centers on Jesus. That's who we are. And I think why we get so much division in the body of Christ. I love having friends from different denominations. We have coffee and hang out and talk about God. Like, because you know why it's easy? Because every one of those guys, they really center their life on Jesus. We express it differently. But their lives are centered on Jesus. And so church division happens when we start thinking otherwise. You maybe go like, you know what? I can't believe that Emily's raising her hands. Church, I can't. I would never raise my hand. Well, maybe God wants you to. But if he doesn't, I just would refer to Jesus' conversation with Peter last. What's it got to do with you? What Emily's called to do. Pursue him with all your heart. And I feel like he's really trying to get hold of the church again and bring authenticity back to our relationships. You know why? Because if you bring authentic Jesus to your world, people are going to hunger for that. And you're going to see his church, not necessarily this church, but maybe this church grow. Why? Because they're biting into your life and they're getting authentic Jesus. Not quotes of scripture, not fake emotional responses, but a real relationship with Jesus that you've cultivated. And you got to come together over him over that. It's time to come together. It is. So when they had come together, unity, they asked him repeatedly. They asked him repeatedly. Does anyone else like to be asked things repeatedly? The same question about the same thing repeatedly? Any of y'all have children? Happens, 17 times a day? I told you, no, you can't have a fruit snack. But can I have a fruit gummy? No, you can't have a fruit gummy. Can I have a fruit-filled banana? No, I said no. But can I have it? No. I said no, but what about now? No. They asked him repeatedly, Lord, are you at this time reestablishing the kingdom and restoring it to Israel? Say repeatedly. Isn't asking the same thing, the question repeatedly, expecting a different answer, crazy? It's the definition of insanity. Doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. Anybody? I need to say it. Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. How's that in our prayer life? Crazy. Some of us even got answers and we keep going, but what about now? What about now? Can I have it now? How about now? What about this? What about that? Anybody? Does that sound familiar? That sounds like prayer. Repeatedly asking him things that he gives us answers to sometimes. It's crazy. But some of us, me included, still do it. Parents hate it. As disciples, we should learn to really accept his answer the first time he gives it. Wouldn't that be great? Like if God said, and you went, okay, all right, you know best. I don't know about you. I have to fall down and get a scar in my head or two and a tough life lesson, and then maybe I comply. But what if that changed this year? What if we came together in our relationship, and when he spoke to us something, we just accepted it and did it, even if it's wait, right? He said to them, it is not, this is his answer. I picture him saying it after, like, as a parent or as a leader, you've been asked the same repeated question over again. I picture him saying it with an exhale, like, trying to gather. I don't know why, he's perfect Jesus, but I picture him trying to gather himself, you know? I told you, no, I can't do that. That's not the flesh. I'm the Son of Man. I'm the Son of God. You know, take a deep breath, you know. He said to them, it is not for you to know. Look, fellas, that was my answer. Accept it. You've been asking me since we got together, since you said, you're my Messiah, you're my Lord. Good, are you going to build a kingdom for us? Are you going to do it now? When are you going to do it? This would be a good time. How about now? You just put see the crowd that went, woo, look at the miracle. This would be a great time. How about now? You want to do it now? I think now it's a great time. Whew. Oh, I told you guys. Thank you for your enthusiasm. You know, I told you. I think you need to accept what I told you the first time. Say there's something about that, right? He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the epochs or the season which the Father has fixed by his own authority. Say, but you. But you? He flips the question. Like, I know that's what you want an answer to, and I already gave you an answer, and you don't like the answer, so you keep talking to me every day about it. Can we get past that? I already said, nah. Next. But you, let's talk about you. You know, but you, you will receive power and ability when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Say, and you. Look at someone sitting near you. Say, and you will be my witnesses to tell people about me. You know what the main purpose of the Holy Spirit in the church is? To power and equip people to tell them about Jesus and Jesus in your life. The main reason for the baptism of the Holy Spirit in a disciple's life is that you can be empowered. The word can come alive inside of you, and you can be empowered to tell people about Jesus and about Jesus in your life. Most of the time, when people come for the baptism prayer of the Holy Spirit, they're hoping for some crazy gift. I want to prophesy like Elijah. No, man, Elijah had a rough life. I don't think you want that. I want that gift. Okay, that's a lot of consequences and hard things come with that gift. and there's a responsibility and a weight that he probably won't give you, because if you slip up and you say things that are you, and people think it's the prophet speaking, you're going to ruin the body of Christ. So I can't give you that gift because you sometimes are a numbskull. But I can give you the gift and the power to show Jesus in your life to other people, and they can come to know me, and that is the purpose for my spirit in you. That's the main purpose, to empower us to do just that, to be my witnesses and tell people about me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and even to the ends of the earth. Do you think the local church support missions? Should the local church support missions? I think the local churches and church organizations both should be encouraging believers to support missions both locally and internationally. Local missions are just as important. I consider this more a mission than a church sometimes, right? We're in the hood. We're at the dog track, right? This is mission base, right? We're in AJ, you know? But we also support in Uganda right now, in Tanzania right now, and sometimes Samoa, you know? And I'm the church now, and I feel like my heart, YWAM does an amazing job, Youth with a Mission. They equipping young missionaries around the world, and Teen Mania does a great job with what they do. I wanted to put a base in the South Pacific to reach islands that are so tiny and unreachable that the people are kind of forgotten because no one spends the money and time to get there. That's one of the reasons I was hoping to build a base and have young people come and maybe get un-Americanized and connect with God and learn some basic life skills if things were to go to hell in a handbasket, and take the gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth. That was my hope. Still building towards it. Maybe I'll get there someday. Miley's hoping it's done by the time she gets back from Tanzania, but as you see, I'm far behind. Acts 1, 9 through 14. And after he said these things, he was caught up. And they looked on. And a cloud took him out of their sight. Can you imagine? Imagine me just right here. I'm just cutting it up with Hallie, and all of a sudden, boo, I'm up. You know, on a cliff. Like, there goes Jesus. What's going on? Like, can you imagine? Put yourself there. Like, what's that going to look like? Oh, okay. A cloud took him out of their sight, and while they were looking intently into the sky, no kidding, like, imagine us out in the parking lot right now, and when Jesus just showed up, like, dude, this, and all of a sudden he's, and we're like, I'd be looking until I couldn't see him. I'd be like, whoa. I'd be like, whoa. What's going on? As they're looking intently at the sky as he was going, two men in white clothing suddenly stood beside them. Can you imagine? If you're like Amber and I, you suddenly stand beside us, she may knock you out. I was one way in the bathroom. She's going to left hook me. She's like, take me out. Shocked her. I'm the same way. Don't sneak up behind me. People think it's funny until I have friends that learn, like, don't do that to him. He punched me. Yeah, like, I don't like it, so don't be popping next to me. But, you know, you can't be smacking an angel because that could be a bad thing, you know. So I don't like that. How about, would you be shocked? Like, oh, my gosh, who are these dudes? Or would you be too sad to care? Like, I don't care who just popped in. There goes my life. What do I do with my life now? I just spent everything I had to follow him, and then he died, and then he came back, and now he's gone. Maybe you're that. Or maybe you're just so used to crazy that it's no big deal. Like, two dudes popping in, that's a big deal. I saw Jesus walk out of water, dead came to life, two dudes just popping in. It's like, what's up? What's your name, bro? You know, like, I don't know how they handled it. If you put 12 guys in a room and they pop in, all of us are going to handle it differently, you know? And I'm just saying. Two men in white clothing suddenly stood beside them who said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will return. Man, do we forget that? He will. It's a promise. There's not a thing Jesus said he was going to do that he didn't do. And so when I was reading that, prepping this week, he reminded me, say that slow. He will return in just the same way if you've watched him go into heaven. Then the disciples returned to Jerusalem. What else are you supposed to do? Like, here he goes. All right. What, guys? He's coming back the same way? What do you want to do now? Well, can we stop by Cain's and then, you know, get a malt and then head over to the upper room, I guess. What else do they do? And at least they didn't go fishing this time. Remember last time Jesus took off? Like, well, guess we're going fishing again. He's like, dude, I told you not a fisherman. Well, I don't know what else to do. I'll just go back to my old life. Where I made my living in fishing, I'll just go back and do what I used to do again because it's comfortable. And Jesus took them on an uncomfortable journey. And then they heard, learned a hard lesson, don't go back to comfort. So here they picked up a lesson. What did Jesus tell them to do? Go back to the upper room and wait. So they went back to wait. Then the disciples returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, only a Sabbath day's journey, less than a mile away. When they had entered the city, they went upstairs to the upper room where they were staying indefinitely. Well, how long are we going to wait? Inevitably, if I just said to us, hey, we're not closing service now, we're just going to wait. Don't worry, I'm not doing that. We're going to wait. Just wait till Jesus shows up. You'd be like, yeah, okay, let's do that. At some point in time, someone's going to crack and go, hey, how long do you think we're going to wait? Aha! Indefinitely. What? Indefinitely? Like, what does that look like, indefinitely? Wait till when? Till it happens. We're so challenged in our walk with God to wait on things till they happen. So many of us pray and then we try to make something happen. And he's trying to get a hold of his church and saying, I want you to be led by my spirit, my voice, or my heart, again, my spirit. That's how you're led. That's the most important thing. You can have direct relationship. That's what matters most. And don't do anything until I show up. Stop making choices until I empower you to do it. Man, it's that season, isn't it? They, that is Peter and John and his brother James and Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, which is Nathaniel, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, Thaddeus, the son of James. I bet he loved being called Thaddeus. You know, like Jesus threw out some nicknames, but if you were named Judas, you'd be like, can you give me one? I don't want that one. Yeah, change it. It could be, you just call me Skippy. I don't care. But it says for eternity, just not Judas. Make sure you put it, hey, Luke, in your first book, you didn't specify. In the second one, put in, you know, my nickname. Like, all right, Thaddeus, you know. All these were with one mind and one purpose. All these were with one mind, one purpose. Say there's something about that. All these with one mind and one purpose were continually devoting themselves to prayer. Here's a key. If you're writing things down, you're going to get anything out of your notes today. Here's one thing. Here it is. While you're waiting, prayer is a key thing to do. What do I do while I wait? Pray. What do I do? Pray. What does that look like? Develop your conversation with God. Develop an intimate relationship where you're talking to him and you're quiet. And you're letting him talk to your soul. And don't do anything else until that happens. Wait. Whew. Man, those moments. Anybody ever have those moments where God just showed up and you were in prayer because you were just waiting and it just changed everything. Everything, right? Just changed. They were devoting themselves. They were in one mind. Hey, look, we're one church. We're centered on Jesus. We're not centered on nonsense. We're centered on authentic God. And we worship him with spirit and truth. And we try to live according to the word. And we don't get caught up in the trappings of that. We're in one purpose. We're in one mind. And we're continually in prayer. You want to see the new season change? You want to see the global church change? Make this the season of prayer in your life like never before. Come into unity that all of us would be praying more than we ever have. Take that moment before you turn on NBA 2K, before you play a game, just pray real quick. Before you scroll through Facebook, just take 30 seconds. Pray 30 seconds before you pray, before you each Facebook moment. Like this season, if you'll stir yourself to pray, we'll become of one mind like never before. And our purpose will be really clear. And God will move and have his being. And you'll be empowered to do things this year in your life you never thought he could do because he will be living in you. And you've tapped into the source of all life. That's what he's looking to do in the church. The book of Acts started with 12 guys who decided to obey Jesus, and they waited. They devoted themselves to prayer, waiting together along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. Ever read that for the first time? If you're a young Catholic guy and you read that, when you start tripping, wait a minute. Mary was a virgin. She only had one son. It was divine. Yeah, and then I started reading on my own. And I realized that myth was busted. Mary was a virgin birth, but it wasn't a life sentence. She got married, and her husband's like, yeah, okay. Son of God, got it. He spoke to me right on. But after this, we're going to get married, right? We're going to be married. Yeah, because I don't know if this, I'm signing up that for eternity, virgin for eternity. That's not what he said. And we get so caught up in that moment because it becomes this holy thing that we have a Christmas manger to. And Mary's awesome. But the point of it isn't that. He had brothers. They just had a different dad. Same mom, different dad. And so often we get caught up in the religiousness of how we think that we don't actually know the truth of what Scripture really says. And that disables the church and it makes us unable to function according to the Word. There's the problem that people know the Word and all they do is shout it and don't live it. And then we have people that don't know the Word so they don't know how to live it. And it's time to come together right now over Jesus. It's time. Like, this is the season. He's drawn this series is supposed to bring us together like never before under the banner of Christ and empowered with his Holy Spirit to accomplish what we, say I am, the church, supposed to accomplish this year. As you, the church, there's accomplishments ahead of you this year. Specifically for you, assignments that you need empowerization for. And some of you are thinking of it right now. You got an assignment in your head. You go, that's my assignment. I'm supposed to hook up with Stinky. Stinky don't know the gospel, and I live like terrible when I was with Stinky. You know, there's a show on kids' TV called The Dirty and Stinky Show. It's about an excavator and a dump truck and their friends, and I love it. But they help people out. Well, I know he's taken my dirty and my stinky, and he's done amazing things with it, and he's caused the gospel for a moment to be lived to someone else so they can come alive. So don't be afraid to share your dirty and stinky. Just don't stay that way. Right, there's new life in this process. Acts 1:15. Now on one of these days, Peter stood up. He stood up among them. He stepped up among his brothers and sisters. A gathering of about 120 believers was there. I know, that's a nice-sized church to me. I have a hard time. When I go to big church, I get lost, and it's awesome. They have amazing things that I think are great. But I have a hard enough time connecting with everyone here on your way out the door. And, right, I can't imagine. So when I looked at this, I go, when I first stood past, I go, Lord, that's about the right size, right? You're not asking me to do any more people than that because you just asked Peter at 120. What's up? You know, like, okay, are we good? And I felt the Lord said, just do what I asked you to do and you'll figure it out. Okay. And he said, brothers and sisters, it was necessary that the scriptures be fulfilled. I love that here's Peter talking about the word. He's talking about this Old Testament promises and covenants. We have to know the word. We have to know both sections of the word. We can't just live on our feelings, right? So Peter comes up with a revelation. It says, the Holy Spirit foretold by the lips of David about Judas Iscariot. What? The Old Testament said Judas was going to betray him. He didn't call him by name, but the Old Testament showed that he was going to betray him. And then that happened. We went, oh, that's right. God said that to us. Judas acted as a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he, Judas, was counted among us, and received share in this ministry. Now Judas Iscariot acquired a piece of land with the money paid for him as a reward for his treachery. Peter's going somewhere with this. Remember, he's addressing everybody. He's standing up, saying, we're waiting for Jesus. While we're waiting for Jesus, and we prayed, Peter's like, I want to do some house cleaning. You know what I mean? So if we waited here indefinitely for Jesus, I guarantee him, Dr. Heidi was here, there'd be cleaning projects. Well, since we're all waiting, why don't we tackle the bathrooms in the children's church? And then there's the carpet. And right? You know, Dr. Heidi, come on. True, we're trapped in here. There's projects. Right? So Peter's doing a house cleaning. They're trapped in there indefinitely, it said, waiting. And he said, Judas acquired a piece of property. And falling headlong, his body burst open in the middle. And all his intestines poured out. Aren't you glad I didn't get a picture of that? falling headlong, his body burst open in the middle, and his intestines poured out. You know, Peter could have just said he died. I think Peter's still a little salty. Like, because Peter's walking and walking. Jesus is like returned from the grave, and they're walking, and he's like, yeah, yeah. And Peter's first question was, what about the betrayer? What's up with him? And Jesus said, none of your business to him again, you know. And then he's referred to as the betrayer. It's not Judas anymore. He's the betrayer. And so Peter's still like, yeah, I'm just being a guy, so forgive me. But if some dude did the person you love terrible harm, you may be prone to celebrate their gruesome destruction. That's not good either, but it's true. Ever have a rival in school go, I love it that he biffed it. Oh, he can't be on the field for 3 weeks. Oh, that's too bad. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. The guys in the front row go, yeah, we know that guy, you know. All the people in Jerusalem learned about it. So Peter's like, everyone knows that happened. Did you see it, you know? Check your Facebook, man. Guts and blood everywhere. Yeah, fell. It's terrible. Check it out. We all know about it. So in their own dialect, Aramaic, they call the piece of land Hakeldama. That is field of blood, Hakeldama. That's a cold name. That's a marked name. That's like, hey, have you ever been betrayed? Ever been super sad or mad because someone you love been betrayed? Jesus said this of the betrayer. It had been good for him if he had never been born. It's in the Gospel of Mark. That's a heavy thing. There comes a point, and it's a sad point, and I've seen it many times in my life, in my walk with God, where someone was serving Jesus. Somehow they betrayed him, and instead of running back to him and asking forgiveness and starting all over afresh, they try to make it themselves, and it ends up in a destruction, in a monument to death. Anybody have a friend die that you know? I don't know where he's at right now. I have him. That should bother us. No more fields of blood. There's people that did us wrong. There's things that had happened, but it's time for us to be the church and have the Acts of the Apostles living with us again. It's time to come together over Jesus and distribute him authentically to everyone, even the traitor. It's time. Peter's going to stand up again, getting into God's word. Acts 1, 20 through 23. For in the book of Psalms it is written, Peter quoting the word, let his place of residence become desolate, and let there be no one to live in it. Peter's like, I dug that one out for this guy, you know. And let another one take his position as overseer. So the men who have accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus spent with us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us. So here's the requirements. Peter's like, all right, we need to fill this position. The resume needs to don't apply for the 12th disciple position that just came open because of the bursting of the blood. That traitor guy, we're filling his spot. We're going to do it today, some house cleaning. So here's the rules. Apply if you've been with us since the beginning of John's baptism and you were there when he was like, ooh, you know, that's requirements. It's funny, requirements, improving ourselves is important. And sometimes as Christians, we don't like that either. We have to prove ourselves sometimes. If someone just becomes a disciple of Jesus Christ and they get baptized and they get excited, I don't just immediately make them pastor over something. You know, people that have been baptized, had an encounter with God, that have never come back even after their baptism? He's looking for something different. He's looking for those who have proven to walk with him when they didn't have a position. They weren't part of the 12. They were following Jesus. And they had no idea Peter was going to jump this out at them. They were just following Jesus. One of these men must become a witness with us to testify of his resurrection. And they put forward two men. Joseph, the one called Barabbas, who was nicknamed Justice. Thank goodness for the nickname. and Matthias. So Justice and Matthias, these are the only two guys. All right. Now, good brothers in Christ, I hope they weren't like, it's going to be me, not you. I'll take you down. I'm the next disciple. No, I am the next disciple. Call me Apostle Matthias. No, you call me Apostle Justice. And they're rolling around. I don't think that happened. Why? Because they're in one accord. They came in together. And people that are in one accord and one prayer together, they don't fight and bicker. They're in one accord together. They want what Jesus wants. They don't want promotion. They just want what God wants. Hopefully that's how their brothers' hearts were, right? They had no other way to figure out what to do this. So they went back to the old way. Say the old ways. Say the old ways. Andrew, are you looking at Nana while you're saying that? It's like the old ways. You see that? I thought I saw that. Careful, Andrew. Disciples will transition eventually in coming up. They're going to transition from hearing the Holy Spirit and how to be led in their decisions by the Holy Spirit. And they just needed to wait on him, but they needed to make a decision. And so let's see what happened. In Acts 1, 24 through 26, it says they prayed, which is always good. You got to make a decision. Pray. What's the first thing you should do when you got any decision in your life of any size? What should you do? Pray. Say, I am the church. And I pray. Boom. So if you got a decision to pray, they prayed. Always pray. They prayed and said, you, Lord, you know all of our hearts. You're in charge of this. Like, we believe you're in charge. Show us which one of these two men you've chosen to occupy this ministry. Which Judas left to go to his own place of evil. See? Peter's still sticking. Just remind us. We know, Peter. We know. You keep rubbing it in there. It's there. Peter, you need to get your heart right. And they cast lots for them. You know what that means? They kind of rolled dice. The mighty disciples, the apostles of our faith, rolled dice to make a decision. Why'd they do that? It's an Old Testament move. What? Ever read the story of Jonah? You know, Jonah, we know the kids' version. I don't know why that's a kid's story. But, you know, this guy was just obedient, so he got swallowed by a fish. That's terrifying. I'd never want to get on a boat again. Be like, no, I'm good. But Jonah, when they're trying to decide, why is this storm? What's the problem? It says they cast lots, and lot fell on Jonah, who he knew he was the problem. So they had that story to come. They also had soldiers. Remember gambling for Jesus' robe? You see lots. But in Proverbs 18, you can read it if you want, there make fair decisions between two powerful leaders. So they didn't have the Holy Spirit, and they were trusting, like, Lord, this is gambling, but we'll take it as you are over everything. So here we go. That's what they were doing. It was the demonstration. They needed to learn how to trust God with random chance, and that'd be hard. Now that I have the Holy Spirit, I wouldn't like to decide things by the dice. Not that God can't do a thing, but I'm so grateful for the Holy Spirit in my life. I don't have to like, well, let's roll the dice. Should we go to Burger King? Never go to Burger King. Who loaded these dice? They didn't have Jesus with them anymore. He was making the decisions. They were following him. They didn't know what else to do. And it says, the lot fell to Matthias, and he was added to the apostles. I think I have a last slide in my conclusion, right? I think I do. Here we are. I may have verbalized it a little differently than the slide, so forgive me. What has God said to you about your life already? So what do you know that he said to you, and you're still waiting for him to show up? Does anybody have anything that God said to you and you feel like you've been waiting forever for it to happen? Me and Charity. Right on. Just get your hands up because I'm going to pray for you. Because it sucks to wait alone. Waiting alone sucks. Trust me, I'm about my house by myself for 2 days. It's me and the dog and I'm about to stab him. You know? Just pray for him. It's driving me crazy. I love him. But to wait alone is terrible. So see those hands around you? There are people waiting that God told them to wait on something. And they're getting weary in their waiting. And I want to encourage you, if he's already told you something to wait for, please wait. Right. Second one, where should you be waiting on God in your life? If you're not waiting on him, where should you be? Like, I'm not waiting on nothing from God. I want you to check your life during this season in the series and go, where should God be in my life where he's not? Where is he waiting for me to let him in there? What are you doing while you wait? All of us had our hands raised up. What are we doing while we wait? Prayer is a great thing to do. But I can get so tired of praying for my waiting. sometimes it inspires me to pray for Cody's waiting. I don't know if you're that way. Like, I can pray over my situation so much, and I've got a certain situation I keep praying for and storming heaven for. And then sometimes the Lord said, why don't you pray for someone else?
That's true.
So put your hands if you're waiting on something from God. Don't be ashamed. You don't have to tell anybody. Don't walk around and go, Jake, what are you waiting on? What are you waiting on, Charity? Stop. But all of us have our hands up waiting, so look around. When you're praying for the thing you're waiting for, find someone's face, and you pray like your answer is supposed to be coming by the way you pray for them. Say, I'm ready to wait. Yeah, that wasn't very encouraging. Let's hold on. Do you cast lots in your life, or do you seek his spirit before you make a decision? Just, well, whatever it be will be. Just let it rip, let it roll. God will decide. Let cast the dice. Bring the bank account. YOLO. Seek his spirit. The last one is it time to submit your life for his filling and for his use? So what I'd like to do, I'm not going to make a big fanfare, but I think I got a little song, Hannah. I just want to pray over you. And if you're wanting the Holy Spirit in your life and you've never been baptized in his spirit, we may have a service. We lay hands on folks. And throughout this series, I hope there's opportunities. But I want to give you an opportunity today. Without the fanfare, without me up here sweating and shaking and putting my hand on your head and trying to get everybody stirred up with their gifts, I want you, if you legitimately want his spirit in your life to empower you to be witnesses for him in the world, I want you to take a moment in this song and seek him for that. And I'm going to pray over you. Does that sound okay? And then you can be dismissed. Go ahead. Well, Father, I thank you. I thank you for what you're doing in the church universal with your spirit again. I thank you that your signs and wonders are for today, yesterday, and forever, Lord God, and you want to empower your church to be your church again. And there's so many lost hearts, Lord. There are so many amazing ministers in this place. There are so many great examples and stories of your redemption, Lord God. When your spirit comes upon them, Lord God, they're going to be unstoppable, and darkness is going to fear so many of them because of what you do in their lives. So I'm asking in the name of Jesus for a fresh baptism of your spirit upon every heart that desires it. And you would do more than we could ask or think, and you would empower them, gift them, and equip them to catch men for you. Be baptized in the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. I love you all. Go come together, hang out with each other, hug each other, talk to each other, share your stories, encourage someone. If you need prayer, Pastor Sharon's going to pray for every person at that prayer wall. If every person, every need, you just bring it out and she's got you covered. Right? Is that what you're saying? Yeah, exactly. Yay, Pastor Sharon. What were you really saying? Women in the corner is what she meant to say. Prayer after women in the corner. So reach women or other women, please go into the corner with Pastor Sharon. And she doesn't have boxing gloves. You'll be okay. You can be dismissed. I love you all. Pray for Uganda. Pray for Tanzania. Pray for Jazzy.